Good morning. Do sit down. Well, as you've heard, I'm here to share a little bit with you about the work of the Lighthouse. And the basis for the Lighthouse is its calling from God. And it's a bit small up there, I know, but this is the first reading we had this morning. And it's talking about things that are important. It's talking about proclaiming good news to the poor. It's talking about binding up the brokenhearted. It's talking about proclaiming freedom for captives. And that doesn't just mean people in jail. It's talking about release from darkness for the prisoners. For comfort for those who mourn. And to provide for those who grieve. So, what's this all about? Well, the Lighthouse was founded in 1986, 33 and a bit years ago, by myself and my wife and a lady called Lynn Kirby. And we were responding to a very specific call from God at that time. The story of how we got going would take far, far longer than we've got this morning. And a lot of the things that happened at that time were things that I thought only happened in good Christian books that I'd read, not in real life for me. I haven't written my book yet, but we'll see. And initially we were in a large house in Earlston, that's where we started, and then in 1996 we moved to Argyle Street, just off Ball Hill. This is a former social services building, in fact, and it's ideal for our purposes. It's quite adequately fitted. It's got a reception area and an admin office there, and it's got 7 counselling rooms. So that's the waiting area, and then that's one of the counselling rooms there. So that's the practicalities of it, if you like. But we're there to do the things God called us to do and to serve the people of our city. We're there to share God's love. We're there to bind up the brokenhearted and all those other things that I read earlier. Our city has many, many people who are brokenhearted, who are captive to some sort of pressure, who are trapped in darkness by mental health issues or by mourning or many other types of loss, and so on and so on and so on. And I want to say to you something that you might think is a bit technical, a bit nerdy, but the Lighthouse is part of what's called the continuum of pastoral care, the continuous line of pastoral care. Each week at the Lighthouse, I stayed at the Lighthouse for 13 years after we'd set it up, and I then moved on to work for the Association of Christian Counsellors, which is the association, obviously, for people doing similar things to the Lighthouse in different parts of the UK. And since I retired, I do a little bit each week for them. And the main thing I do for them is, in fact, what we call initial interviews. And each week I hear of truly dreadful situations that people are in, more often than not through their own fault. This week, just as one example, this week I talked to a lady. I did an initial interview with the lady who had been in a controlling and violent relationship for 28 years. Can you believe it? The damage that's done. So, as I say, I don't want to get too technical about this continuum of pastoral care, but it's not only to do with counselling. I don't know if you can see that. We start up at the top left with a cup of tea and a listening ear and we move through prayer and spiritual support and practical help and appropriate referral. Do you know when it would be appropriate for you to refer somebody to the Lighthouse or to some other helping organisation? Obviously, some people need to go to the doctor's surgery to get their antidepressants or whatever's appropriate. And then comes counselling and psychotherapy, which is where the Lighthouse fits in. But there are those who need long-term support, perhaps in hospital or a supported accommodation. So there's a whole raft of things, and I'm inviting you to think about where you might fit into that continuum of pastoral care. What is counselling? Counselling is a conversation with a purpose. The purpose is to help clients to understand their situation and to take their own decisions. There are various counselling modalities, techniques, whatever you want to call it, none of which have all the answers, some of which are appropriate at one time and not at others. Counselling is confidential. That is really, really important. I suspect that there are people here who have shared things with friends and have then regretted it because it got out. It wasn't kept confidential. So the confidentiality is really, really important. And of course there are some misconceptions about counselling. What I put there, the Freudian couch, you know, the thing you see perhaps in old American movies where the counsellor or psychotherapist or whatever is in a white coat and the person with the problem is lying down on a couch and everybody refers to it as going to see your shrink and this sort of thing. We don't like that, really. That's not the way we like to think of counselling. There's the medical model, the clinical idea, and that's something that... when I moved on to the Association of Christian Counsellors, one of the things I had to do was to talk to the government about regulation of counselling. And one of the first things I found out was that they didn't really understand that counselling was helpful to people who haven't got a medical condition, who haven't got a mental health condition. So counselling is appropriate, for example, to people with a relationship difficulty of some sort. That doesn't mean to say they've got a mental health problem, it means they've got a relationship problem. So it's much more than just the clinical, and this is an ongoing battle that the Lighthouse has with the National Health Service and things, that, you know, it's not just people with mental health difficulties who need counselling. And then the thought that when you go to the counsellor, he tells you what to do, or she tells you what to do. No, it's not like that. Counselling is enabling the client, the person coming for help, to find their own solutions, to make their own decisions. It's about asking the right questions that they can ask themselves. So those are some of the misconceptions. Client autonomy is fundamental to counselling ethics, I've put there. What on earth does that mean? It means that the client is in charge, if you like. The client takes the decisions. The client chooses whether to do whatever it is that you might suggest that they consider. It's incredibly important that we're not going into the counselling room with our own agenda. And again, when I've been talking to other counselling professional bodies, one of their assumptions is that Christian counsellors don't respect client autonomy. They don't, that they will go in there and hit them over the head with the Bible or something. That's not the case. The counselling room, I would suggest, is not the place for evangelism unless the client specifically asks about Christian faith. But spirituality, not necessarily Christian spirituality, is important to many people as they try to cope with life. At the Lighthouse, as a Christian organisation, we've had over the years quite a few Muslim clients come, and they say things, words to the effect that we don't much like Christianity, but at least we know that you understand that there is a spiritual side to life, that there is more than just materialism. The counselling room is a great place to demonstrate God's love, just by being there with people, by hearing them, by respecting them. All of the Lighthouse counsellors are Christians, and every counsellor has a worldview. And I believe that even if you never mention God in the counselling session, coming into that counselling session with your hope placed in God affects the way that you are as a counsellor, and therefore affects the client. So about the work, we've got, you perhaps see the figures there, we've got 7 staff members, some of them part-time. We've got a fundraiser, we've got admin staff, we've got volunteer counsellors, and we've got student counsellors. So I think that makes up to about 20 odd counsellors in all. That's the scale of things. In 2018, we saw just over 3,000 clients. We provided just over 3,000 counselling sessions to 428 clients. I haven't got the 2019 figures yet, but they're going to be similar. We offer counselling for which there is no charge. Back beginning of last year, we did introduce a registration charge. When people first come, we charge them £15 to register with us. And that was simply because we had so many people who made appointments and didn't turn up. It got up to, at times it got up to nearly half the people who made appointments didn't come. So we find that by charging them £15, it concentrates the mind a bit. We also provide a few other things, professional supervision for counsellors outside the Lighthouse. We provide some training for professional development. Clients are referred to us from all over the place. But the main referrer is the National Health Service. Over 50% of our clients are referred to us by the Health Service. We're used by the Health Service to offer support, counselling support to clients who fall outside the remit of their services. In other words, it isn't a mental health issue, or for whom they just don't have the capacity to offer them counselling in a reasonable timescale. And whilst the presenting issue, they might say on the phone, well, I've had a bereavement, can seem straightforward, we often find that there are many things that go along with that. And that's why we do an initial interview, to make sure that we know what the situation really is. We work with adults of all ages, nationalities, ethnicities, religions, occupations. Most of our clients live in Coventry, but a few live in Warwickshire and elsewhere. Clients wait for between 1 and 3 months after they've had their initial assessment, just because we've got more than we can cope with. We measure the effectiveness of our counselling using various means. Before they start their counselling with us, our clients, 77% of them, have moderate to severe mental health issues. That, of course, means that 23% don't have mental health issues. But the ones who have mental health issues reduces, or the severity reduces, so that only 11% have moderate to severe mental health issues by the time they finish their counselling. I've brought some examples of people who've come. We've changed the names, obviously. I think I'm probably pushing my luck with time, so I won't go through those, but there are lots of very good testimonials from people who have been helped, and that makes all the hard work, and it is hard work, worthwhile. Like so many voluntary organisations, finance is a challenge. We get individual gifts from the clients and from others. We get an NHS grant, which has been static for more years than we care to remember. We get grants from charities. We get a few other odds and ends as well. It costs about £1,700 a week to keep the lighthouse open. Up to 50% of our clients are on low incomes. And as I've said before, some people don't keep their appointments. What do we need? We need prayer. There's a table at the back with some literature on and a display board. If you'd like to sign up to receive our prayer letter, that would be great. We obviously need financial support. I think you can guess the story on that. We need champions for the cause. We need people who can stand alongside their friends and say, I think you might need some help. Can I recommend the lighthouse? And we need more volunteers to keep the place open. Let me finish with a challenge to you. In Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, Jesus quoted those words from Isaiah 61. He set those words out as his manifesto. And we, as Jesus followers, need to follow Jesus' manifesto. So I want to invite you this morning to think, how can you contribute to this continuum of pastoral care that I talked about? Can you offer somebody who's struggling a cup of tea? Can you provide them with a listening ear? Can you appropriately refer them on to the services they need help from? So I'd be glad if you would have a think about that as perhaps you chat to me afterwards, have a look at the display, and I'd be very pleased to answer any questions you've got. Thank you.